Welcome to Classic Comedy of Old Time Radio. I'm your host, Ron Eckelbarger. For all of those who are suffering from insomnia and snoring, we have for you The Bickersons, starring Don Ameche, Francis Langford, and Danny Thomas. This is the 16th episode of the series, and it is entitled John's New Fishing Pole. It originally aired on March 30th. 1947.
From Hollywood, it's Dream Time. Ladies and gentlemen, the makers of Dream Shampoo are pleased to present the 16th in a series of new programs produced by Carlton Alsop and starring Don Ameche.
Let me sleep, will you please, Blanche?
Francis Langford.
John, I'll go insane if you don't stop that snoring.
Danny Thomas.
It's a free country. I'm a citizen.
And Carmen Dragon and his orchestra. And here is your host for the evening, Don Ameche.
Ladies and gentlemen, and good evening.
Hello, Don.
Hello, Francis. I've been meaning to tell you something for a long time. When I look at you, I see the brush of Raphael kissing a canvas with your likeness. When I hear you, it's the strains of a Schubert sonata reaching out to caress my ears. And when I'm with you, it's a divine sonnet of love written by Shakespeare.
Such a lovely comparison, and so literary. Who can be worthy of such words?
The way I really feel about you is beyond words. For instance, just look out of that window. Do you see those two robins on that branch with their beaks together? What do you suppose they're thinking about?
Worms.
Why, Danny Thomas.
Oh, Danny, please, why must you always be so horribly present at the wrong times? Until you came along, I was having a purely intellectual conversation with a charming girl.
Look, I happen to be an expert on the subject. I've got plenty of girls, haven't I?
You have?
Certainly. I even write my diary 2 weeks in advance.
Well, that may be so, but right now you're reading my diary over my shoulder.
Meaning?
It so happens that Francis only goes out with certain persons.
Well?
Who's certain you're a person?
Wait, that's a pretty nasty observation. I mean, you must have heard how it was between me and June Haver before we had our big argument and she married somebody else.
She must have been pretty mad at you.
Mad? She was furious. She married the same guy twice.
Well, you've made your little speech, now I'll continue mine. As I was about to say, Francis, I wish you'd come over to my house tonight.
Oh, I'm on to your game, Don. Trying to cut me out with Francis by discussing high-class subjects.
Now, wait just a
You're
minute.
You're nothing but a slick, sneaking, slinking slicker.
Now, you can't say I'm a sneaking, slickering, slinking, slicking, slicker.
Neither can you. And let me tell you something.
Now, just a minute. Before you jump to any conclusions, I think you should know that I have found in Francis a kindred spirit, a true connoisseur of art. The reason I invited her over is that I want her opinion on some paintings I hung in my house.
Oh, in that case, I'm sorry.
All right. You see, Francis, I have a Picasso in my den and a Rembrandt in my living room, and I think the place can take one more painting.
It does seem that way. How about something in oil for your dining room?
Why don't you get a can of sardines?
Please don't discuss things above your intellectual level.
Don't be so harsh with him, Don. Maybe he does appreciate art.
It so happens I do, Don. I saw the paintings in your house and I liked them.
Oh, well, thanks.
I especially like the one in your living room, The Three Musketeers. But tell me, is the fella in the middle supposed to have a mustache?
Why, that's D'Artagnan. Certainly he's supposed to have a mustache.
Ooh, I'm terribly sorry.
What for?
I erased it. Oh, but I can paint it back on.
Well, there's no use losing my temper. I guess you just can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
Oh, wait, I wouldn't say that. Remember, Don, when you met me, you won a friend.
That ought to teach me not to gamble. Francis, will you sing something to soothe my shattered nerves?
Certainly, Don.
This can't be love because I feel so well. No sobs, no sorrows, no sighs. This can't be love, I get no dizzy spell. My head is not in the skies. My heart does not stand still, just hear it beat. This is too sweet to be love because I feel so well, but still I love to look in your does not stand still. Just hear it beat. This is too sweet to be love. This can't be love because I feel so well, but still I love to love. Love to look in your eyes.
Never, yes, never before Dreen could any shampoo reveal all the natural brilliance of your hair. Never before Dreen could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage.
Dreen your hair and you bring out all its sparkling highlights.
Dreen your hair and you glamorize all its soft, thrilling texture.
Dreen your hair and you remove all luster-dulling soap film and unsightly dandruff.
And what's more, Dreen's rich whipped cream lather leaves your hair easier to set, easier to curl, easier to arrange right after shampooing.
Yes, for lovely, lustrous hair, for all types of hair, use Dreen shampoo.
Right. Never before Dreen could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage. D-R-E-N-E, Dreen Shampoo.
Ah, that was well done, Toby. And Francis, your song was so delightful that I'm not even mad at Danny anymore.
I'm glad, Don. You really are a bit impatient with him at times.
Well, it's his own fault. If he were only more conversant with the arts, we'd have more in common.
He was merely trying to be helpful when he erased that mustache.
Oh, it's not just paintings. If he'd read some good literature occasionally, it'd help him socially.
Don, not only do I read good literature, I even write it.
You can't even write your own name.
Hmm.
What did you ever write?
Why, last week alone, I typed 800 pages in one day. Sent it to the editor of a national magazine.
800 pages in one day?
Right.
Why, that's fantastic.
That's funny. That's what the editor said when he tried to read what I typed. But that doesn't mean I don't appreciate good literature.
Well, apparently you don't benefit by what you read.
It's because of my system.
What system?
System. I always read the first few pages of a book, then I read the last few pages. Then I start in the middle and read towards whichever end I like the best.
Francis, what were we talking about?
Literature. And incidentally, I just read a wonderful book, Swan's Way by Proust.
Oh, my uncle read that book.
What does that make you?
His nephew.
Now, don't you think we should be more tolerant and sympathetic? Perhaps fiction doesn't interest him. He may be stimulated by philosophy.
Philosophy, that's a funny thing. You know, Francis, when I was 5 years old, I came home with a volume of Plato under my arm.
5 years? Weren't you a little young for Plato?
After all, does a kid know what he's stealing?
Danny, may I make a suggestion?
Of course.
Next time you go to the library, get a book on the rearing of calves and present it to your mother.
Yeah.
Francis, may I see you for a minute alone?
But wait a minute. How do you like that? Walked away from me. Big shot intellect. Thinks he's smarter than me. He's just lucky. He was born with a brain. Can't even write your name, he says to me. I should have said, I can't do write my name. I should have said, maybe not from memory, but... If you knew more about the arts, we'd have more in common, he says. I should have said, listen, you're a stupid, ignorant baboon, and I'm your equal, I should have said. Suppose I'm not as well-read as he is. What does that make me, the schnook of the month? I should have said, I'll say it. It's a free country, I'm a citizen. Hey, Don. Don!
Yeah, Danny, don't get excited. I'm here.
I insist that you revise your opinion of me. You're not being fair. I happen to have a reason for not being literary.
I'm listening.
Well, when I was 7 years old, I took Little Women out of the library. It was my first book. And I've regretted it ever since.
Why?
Why? Today I'm $6,482 overdue on my library card. I'm a slow reader. And that's why I'm convinced that being a patron of the arts is very costly.
Danny, art doesn't have a material side. The great masters were guided by their spirits, not their stomachs. Van Gogh, for instance. He lived in a desolate cabin without plumbing, lights, or ventilation. His roof leaked and his walls were caving in. What would you do if you lived in a place like that?
I'd rent it for $500 a month.
Danny, why do you always treat serious subjects so lightly?
Don, you think I'm intellectually unequipped?
Definitely.
That I just want to have a comic touch.
You try.
Don't be surprised to learn that I am hipped.
On what?
Artistry, philosophy, and such.
Mm-hmm.
But the greatest bit of philosophy that I know was told to me in Trinidad by my friend Calypso Joe.
What did he say?
Listen. A joke is a thing that amuses many folks. They have fun. So I will continue to tell my little jokes. Like this one. Mrs. Jones had triplets one day. 2 weeks later, she had twins, they say. Don't think that your hearing has been double-crossed. It happens that one of the triplets got lost. Now here is a thing that has a comical slant. It appears my uncle has been married to his wife, my aunt. 30 years now, that's a long time. And to me, my uncle is sublime. He says his romancing has never grown dim. If his wife finds out, I know she will kill him. Of course, there is no perfect marriage, that I know, in this life. I'll soon be divorced by Mrs. Calypso Joe. That's my wife. She said that she is through with me, and a bachelor is no thing to be. So I'll marry her sister, I'll tell you what for. I don't have to break in a new mother-in-law. Her sister and I, we will never, never part. We agree. The day I proposed to her, I was in her heart. Only me, I was feeling so all alone. So I called her on the telephone. I said, will you marry me? It will be bliss. She quickly said, yes, I would love to. Who's this? That's the philosophy of Calypso Joe.
Not 50%.
Not 75%.
But 100%. Yes, Dream Shampoo reveals 100% of the natural loveliness of your hair. All its sparkle, all its sheen, all its dazzling brilliance.
That's true. Never before Dream could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous.
That's because Dream is not a soap shampoo. Leaves no dull film, as all soaps do. And what's more, Dream does not dry out your hair. Instead, Dream's richer whipped cream lather leaves your hair easier to set, easier to curl, easier to arrange right after shampooing.
So for lovely, lustrous hair, use Dream Shampoo.
Yes, for all types of hair, dry, normal, or oily, use Dream Shampoo. Buy Dream at all drug department or 10-cent stores in the familiar blue and yellow package. Or ask for Dream at your beauty shop. Remember, never before Dream could any shampoo leave your hair so lustrous, yet so easy to manage.
Your hair can have that dazzling sheen the very first time that you use Dream.
Right, your hair can have that dazzling sheen the very first time that you use Dream. Our glamorous Dream girl, Frances Langford, joins Carmen Dragon and his orchestra as she sings Night and Day.
Beat, beat, beat of the tom-tom when the jungle shadows fall. Like the tick, tick, tock of the stately clock as it stands against the wall. Like the drip, drip, drip of the raindrops when the summer shower is through. So a voice within me keeps repeating, you. You, night and rather near to me or far. It's no matter, darling, where you are. This longing for you follows wherever I go. In the roaring traffic, in the silence of my lonely room, I think of you night and day. Night and day, under the hide of me, there's an oh, such a hungry yearning burning inside of me. And its torment won't be through till you let me spend my life making love to you.
And now, Don Ameche and Francis Langford as John and Blanche Bickerson, with Danny Thomas as Brother Amos, in The Honeymoon Is Over, written by Phil Rapp. The Bickersons have retired. Mrs. Bickerson lies tense and silent in the darkness, while poor husband John, insomniac extraordinary, engages in another grueling bout with the dread affliction that borders on madness, lethargica profundus. Listen.
With you.
What's the matter?
Nobody would believe what I go through every night of my life. I lie awake for hours listening to that groaning and grunting and whining and giggling and snoring and snarling. I'm sick of it, John.
Yeah, me too. Who's doing it, Blanche? Must be that new tenor.
You're doing it, and you haven't missed a single night since we got married.
Missed what?
Snoring. It's unbelievable.
I don't believe it. Good night, Blanche.
Good night, nothing. Why doesn't somebody invent something to wake a person up when they start to snore?
They don't have to invent it. I married it.
Very funny. Oh, you're so funny, John Bickerson. Well, you're not going to enjoy yourself while I suffer. Get out of that silly position and sleep like a normal human being.
What difference does it make to you what position I'm in?
It makes a lot of difference. You can't possibly breathe right the way you're all wound up.
Ugh.
You've got one knee up under, against your chin and your head is under the pillow and one foot's hanging out of the bed.
Ooh.
Go on, put that foot where it belongs.
If I did, you wouldn't sit down for a week.
That's right. Threaten me. A lot you care that I'm on the verge of a nervous breakdown. My face is full of lines. I've got dark circles under my eyes. My cheeks are hollow. I look worse than an old witch. It's true, isn't it?
I wouldn't say that.
Why not, John?
I'd be awake for the rest of the night.
You do think it's true, though, don't you?
What's true?
I look worse than an old witch.
You don't look worse than an old witch.
Why do you emphasize worse?
All right, you don't look worse than an old witch.
That sounds even more horrible.
Oh, Blanche, why don't you just relax and go to sleep? Stop worrying about how you look.
Every woman worries about how she looks. I suppose you know I spend half my allowance in the beauty parlor.
I'll have to raise your allowance. Put out the lights, will you?
I'm so sick, I don't think I'll live another month.
What's the matter with you now?
I get terrible dizzy spells and palpitation of the heart. Every few minutes, I get a burning sensation. I think I'm going to dry up.
You say it, but you won't do it.
I'm sick. I know I'm at death's door.
Well, go see Dr. Marvin. He'll pull you through.
How can you lie there and watch me writhe in agony? Right now, my pulse is going like a trip hammer.
Oh, let me see. Oh, there's nothing wrong with your pulse. It's steady as clockwork.
You've got your fingers on my wristwatch.
What time is it?
It's 3:30. Oh, John, I know I'm going to die.
Oh, you're not going to die.
Every single time I get a premonition, it comes true. And I've had this dying premonition 6 times.
Well, it didn't come true, did it?
Don't yell at me. Send for the doctor.
Oh, you don't need the doctor. I'll handle it. Where's the bourbon?
Bourbon? I don't want any bourbon.
Now, will you let me help you or not? I've got the greatest cure in the world for your condition. All you have to do is poach 2 eggs in bourbon.
I won't eat eggs poached in bourbon.
You don't eat the eggs. You drink the gravy.
Don't you dare fix me any of your hideous remedies. All you want to do is finish me off.
Well, if you don't want me to help you, stop complaining.
You wouldn't talk that way to Gloria Gooseby.
Oh, now don't start with Gloria Gooseby.
All she has to do is sneeze, and you run up and down looking like Dr. Kildare. The day she fainted from the heat, you were busy rubbing her ankles.
Well, you always rub a person's extremities when they faint.
Well, you didn't have to be so extreme. Why didn't you rub her
hands? Leah was rubbing her hands.
I can't understand what you see in that hussy.
I hate her, and you know it.
It's those tight slacks she wears. When she walks into a room, her eyes pop out further than yours.
Nobody's eyes pop out. I mean, my eyes don't pop out at all. And if you don't quit harping on Gloria Gooseby, I swear...
Hit me. You've done everything else. Sick as I am, maybe I'll have to have an operation. An ambulance will come in the middle of the night and take me away. An emergency.
There's no emergency.
I might even die on the table. And if I do live, I'll lie there in the hospital in a charity ward. Nobody to visit me, no calls.
Blanche!
Why don't you send some flowers, John?
Why don't you stop blowing your top? You're no sicker than I am. You're just putting on this act to keep me awake, aren't you? Now tell me the truth.
Is it so impossible that I might have an operation?
Well, what of it? Thousands of people have operations. It's nothing to be afraid of. You wouldn't hear me squawking like that.
Not much. You had to take ether to have glasses fitted.
Very sensitive around the eyes. That's because I don't sleep enough. Oh, Blanche, why don't you put out the light?
All right, John. You'd have been asleep a long time ago if you hadn't been for your snoring.
Well, can I help it if I snore?
Yes, you can. Dr. Marvin says there's something wrong with your pharynx. You have a very long uvula and it flutters against your palate. Why don't you let him fix it?
Okay, I'll have it fixed next week.
You say it, but you won't do it. Let him fix it now.
What?
Go on, get up and let him pull out your palate.
Blanche, are you out of your mind? Do you think I'm going to let that broken-down doctor hack at my palate?
He doesn't hack, he snips.
I don't care if he shoots it off with a .22. Nobody's going to fool around with my palate.
Well, you're going to have to do something, as it is neither of us get any sleep.
Well, why don't you have him file your ears off? Oh, I never heard of such a thing.
I wouldn't argue at all if you'd just be nice for a minute. You married me because you loved me, didn't you, John? Wasn't because I had a little money, was it?
No, it wasn't.
And even if we had our lives to live over again, you wouldn't marry me for my money, would you, John?
I wouldn't marry you for all the money in the world.
See, there you go, starting all over again.
Blanche, I'm so sleepy, I don't know what I'm saying. Talk to me in the morning.
You said you're going fishing in the morning. Who are you going with?
With my boss.
Why don't you take my brother Amos along?
We're going trout fishing. We don't need any worms.
Don't be so smart. Tomorrow you'll wish you had him with you.
I assure you, I'll enjoy my fishing without Amos.
You can't fish without a fishing pole.
Well, I got a fishing pole. I bought a brand new one yesterday.
I lent it to Amos.
Well, that's fine. Then he'll be able... What?
Amos borrowed your fishing pole.
Oh, Blanche, he didn't. You wouldn't let that sponging weasel take my brand new rod before I even had a chance to use it. He'll ruin it. He doesn't know how to fish.
He isn't going to fish with it. His sink got stopped up and he wanted to clean the drain out.
Clean the drain out? That chiseling thief is using my $50 rod for a plunger?
It won't hurt it. You never catch any fish anyway.
I always catch fish. I caught them last time, didn't I? You know darn well I brought home 3 bass and 1 smelt.
They all smelt. Go to sleep.
Go to sleep, she says. My whole life is ruined. Cleaning drains with my $50 rods. What's the matter with a piece of wire? Go to sleep, she tells me. I'll never sleep another wink as long as... Hello. The phone's dead. It's leaking.
Put down that bottle of bourbon.
Where is that darn phone?
Be careful of the vase on the telephone table.
Gosh, I can't see a thing. Hello.
Hello, is Dr. Klinker there?
Who?
Dr. Klinker.
Dr. Klinker?
I say, is this the peaceful rest home?
The peaceful rest home? Brother, have you got a wrong number?
Jacko, this is Amos.
Amos? Amos, where's my trout rod?
Have you got any glue, Jacko?
Glue? Oh, Amos, you broke it. You broke my new rod. I've never had a broken rod in my life.
Well, don't cry, Jacko. You got one now. It was too long anyway.
Why did you do it? The rod cost me $50. It's the finest rod made.
Ah, cheap stuff. It snapped before I got it halfway down the drain. I'll give you the money back, Jacko. I got it right here.
Where would you get $50?
I sold the rest of your tackle.
No.
Good night, Jacko.
That's the end of the world. Let me get back to bed before I explode.
John!
My knee.
John, you didn't break the vase, did you?
No, but I'll be hanged if I'm not going to now.
John, that vase is a family heirloom. It's been handed down from generation to generation.
Well, this is the last generation. Good night, Blanche.
This is Toby Reed reminding you, never before dream. Yes, never before dream could any shampoo reveal 100% of the natural luster of your hair. Listen next Sunday for another pleasant half hour with Don Ameche, Danny Thomas, Francis Langford, Carmen Dragon, and his orchestra. And now here is...
Don Ameche reminding you there's still time to give and give gladly to the 1947 Red Cross Fund and wishing you good days, good nights, and good luck until we meet again.
Dreft, Dreft, Dreft your dishes and oh how they shine. Shine without wiping in half of the time and look bright, bright. So don't you get left, get Dreft. For dishes that shine even without wiping, get Dreft, the greatest dishwashing discovery in 2,000 years. Dreft, Procter & Gamble's sudsing miracle, makes even your nicest glassware sparkle like jewels, towel or no towel. Get Dreft in the bright green package. Remember, don't you get left, get Dreft.
Don Ameche will soon be seen in the Republic picture, That's My Man. Danny Thomas appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the new musical, It Happened in Brooklyn. Danny Thomas's song was written by Jerry Seelan, with special music by Carmen Dragon. Why isn't there more soap? Because adequate supplies of soap, fabrics, medicines, and many products can't be made without more fats than are available today. And that's why everyone is urged to save every drop of kitchen fats every day. The need is urgent, the reason sound, and dealers now pay more per pound. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Danny Thomas was born Amos Muziad Yaqub Kairuz in 1912. His parents were Maronite Christian immigrants from Lebanon, and he grew up in Toledo, Ohio. Throughout the 1930s and early 1940s, Danny performed on local radio shows and in nightclubs doing his comedy act. He became known to national audiences in the show that we are listening to right now, Dreamtime and the Bickersons, where he played Brother Amos, which I guess we can see that the name Amos for Brother Amos came from his original first name, Amos. This led to giving Danny Thomas work on the Baby Snooks Show, The Big Show with Tallulah Bankhead, and then his own variety radio show, The Danny Thomas Show. He made about 10 films in his career, the biggest film being where he played, Gus Kahn, a real-life songwriter, who this was a film biography in 1951 with Doris Day called I'll See You in My Dreams. Danny Thomas really found his niche in life, though, through television. In 1953, he began an 11-year run, which lasted until 1964, in the show Make Room for Daddy, which was later called simply The Danny Thomas Show. A huge hit for him. And this led to him becoming a big television producer as well as television star. He produced such big hits as The Dick Van Dyke Show, The Andy Griffith Show, That Girl, which starred his daughter, Marlo Thomas, and The Mod Squad. He also produced some westerns, The Real McCoys, The Tycoon, and The Guns of Will Sonnet. Thomas often did cameos in the shows that he produced. I know one of my favorite episodes of The Dick Van Dyke Show is the one called It May Look Like a Walnut. And in this, Dick Van Dyke has a dream where it's kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers type dream where the aliens are coming and walnuts are taking over everything. And Danny Thomas plays the alien Kolak from the planet Twilo. And once you've been assimilated, you don't have any thumbs anymore. So it's if you can watch that episode of the Dick Van Dyke Show, it's just hilarious. And of course, Danny Thomas is in that. But he was also responsible for Mary Tyler Moore's big break in acting. He's the one who recommended to Carl Reiner that they cast Mary Tyler Moore as Dick Van Dyke's wife in The Dick Van Dyke Show. And that led to her huge career. But perhaps Danny Thomas's most lasting legacy is through his philanthropy, his charitable work in founding the St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Danny Thomas always said no child should die in the dawn of life. And so with the help of Dr. Lemuel Diggs and his close friend Anthony Abraham, who was in the auto business, Danny Thomas founded in 1962 in Memphis, Tennessee, the St. Jude Children's Hospital, and now there are, I think, 8 affiliate hospitals throughout the United States. I know there's one in Tampa that my daughter, one of my daughters who is paraplegic, got some help from St. Jude Children's Hospital there in Tampa. So many lives, including mine, and my daughters, my families have been touched by the work of Danny Thomas. And that's a wonderful legacy to have. Danny Thomas passed away in 1991 at the age of 79. Please send your questions and comments to host@classiccomedyotr.com. Come back next Monday for another episode of The Bickersons. And check in on Wednesday for the next installment of The Bob Hope Show. Please go to our website, classiccomedyotr.com, and please support our show by clicking on the Become a Patron button and supporting us on a monthly basis, or clicking on the Donate button to donate to the show through PayPal on a single-time basis. Until next time, in the words of Neil Simon, money brings some happiness, but after a certain point, it just brings more money.